Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo-woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildebrand. Joining me, as always, over there in Toasty, New York City, fine gentleman by the name of Dan Rubenstein, the 10th. Sir, how are you?
Ty, I'm wonderful. I'm at the point where I believe in the sand beneath my toes. The beach, you know this, you're a beach guy, gives a feeling, an earthy feeling, Ty. I believe in the faith that grows.
Okay.
And the four chords that make me cry, Ty. I'm not afraid to say this is
semi-charmed life.
It is, Ty. It really is a semi-charmed life.
You can't bring late 90s pop rock out here and expect me not to jump all over that.
Ty, I'm going to be very clear here. It was difficult to find a verse in that song that I wanted to read aloud. There's some choice lyrics, Ty.
Yeah, the crystal meth portion may not have been the best selection for a family-friendly podcast. How are you, man? What's up?
I'm good, Ty. Life is all right.
Yeah?
I have no complaints.
What's new in New York City?
What's new? I'm going out to dinner with our pal Bill Barnwell tonight at a Mexican meal, a new place I haven't been to yet.
Will you be talking 90s video games?
It'll come up every single time I speak to him. He's got something new to add, so absolutely.
Well, tell Bill I said hello, and hello to everyone listening out there. It is college football week 4 that is upon us. We have a rather lengthy slate of games that Dan and I are going to go through. What's your general feel for week 4? Because when I look at it, I say there aren't a whole lot of headliners, right? It's a little bit it's a little bit like last week. I think on the surface there are some higher profile games than we saw in week 3. So yeah, I mean some reason to be attracted to what's out there in week 4, but still not nearly the heights that we saw in week 2. Certainly not nearly the heights that we're going to see in week 6, which I will discuss when we talk about our window of opportunity.
I think it's a deeper week than last week. I think at all times there are games that I am interested in, I want to see, because we still have a number of teams that haven't played in matchups that have given us a good idea of where they stand on either side of the ball. A matchup like Notre Dame Michigan State may not have necessarily the same cachet after Notre Dame lost to Georgia early on, where, you know, maybe people are a little bit down on Notre Dame and Michigan State had the year that they had last year. But Michigan State started out pretty well against not great teams. So yeah, Maybe there's a corner to be turned there. Games like that, I think, are pretty intriguing. Like, is Vanderbilt a team that can at least slow down Alabama a little bit with that defense? Florida, Kentucky, can Kentucky break through with a decent enough defense? Mississippi State, Georgia, now that Mississippi State, we know more about Mississippi State now going out on the road. So I think there's a good number of games where, like, ooh, I gotta keep checking in on that.
Absolutely. Well, thank you again to everyone for tuning in. Don't forget, you can subscribe to the show out on Apple or Google, Spotify, anywhere you can find a podcast, you can download the Solid Verbal. If you've got any of the highfalutin apps that allow you to recommend an episode, that will absolutely help what we're doing.
Oh, yeah.
Or if you can go on out to iTunes or Google or anywhere where you can write a review, the 5-star review obviously helps. Or you can go out to the Facebook page. 5-star review there helps.
Ooh.
If you want to pop on in, Dan and I have committed ourselves to the cause. Uh-oh. And actually, after we record this podcast, you're going to be doing some video that's going to pop up on the Facebook page before long. I am planning early Sunday morning on going and trying to film from Wegmans.
So just you going down the aisles giving thoughts?
Yes.
I'm going to tell you something right now, Ty. They may frown on that.
I know they may frown on it, but here's what I'm thinking. I put in the white earbuds and make it look like I'm talking to somebody on the phone, I think I might be able to get away with it.
Oh, so like it's a FaceTime type.
So yeah, I'm FaceTiming my friend and making sure I get the right kind of nougat.
Are you going to do it live? You have that kind of data availability?
It would be live, yeah.
Ooh,
absolutely.
Wow. Premium video.
Premium video. So anyway, facebook.com/solidverbal if you want to get in on the fun. We're also on Twitter. We're on Instagram. And you can sign up for the newsletter by going to solidverbal.com. Dan, before we get into all the week 4 action, do you have any news, anything at the front of mind that you would like to discuss?
Not really, Ty. Do you?
No, let's get into it.
Let's get into it.
Damn. Ty, help. I need picks of the week.
Jumping right in, we got a bunch of games to discuss here. We daresn't waste any time. I was looking at the slate here. And as I said, a fairly deep slate of games that I think you could find some interest in, but not an overwhelming amount of true headline games.
I disagree.
Let me finish. Let me finish. Okay. I think there's a good chance that the night games are going to be very boring this week.
Okay.
And I know I say that knowing full well that there is a Syracuse LSU game.
New York's number 7 team.
Right. But there aren't any real clashes of titans at night. And honestly, look, I think you make it a date night. If you've got no better options, okay, I think you make it a date night. I think you check out Oklahoma State TCU, which we're going to preview here in a little bit. Watch that game while you're doing some chores around the house. Maybe go out to eat somewhere fun where they got TVs and something that allows you to at least keep tabs from a distance on the night games. But
what are the night games?
Go over
the most interesting of the night games, because perhaps people haven't looked at the schedule. I mean, Mississippi State Georgia is a good game.
Mississippi State Georgia is a good game, but there is a chance that you may not care that much about a game featuring Mississippi State. And that's no disrespect to the Bulldogs, but there's a chance you might not care about that game.
The Big A in the backfield? Aris Williams?
There's a chance you might not care about that game.
Big Jeffrey Simmons?
There's a chance you might not care about Florida at Kentucky.
Penn State, Iowa?
I care about Penn State, Iowa, but there are people outside the Midwest who couldn't care less about Penn State. And then there's Notre Dame at Michigan State, which I don't even really want to talk about, but there's a chance that people don't even want to watch that one out of spite to Notre Dame. So my point is that I think you could use this week, if you wanted, for a date night, build up some goodwill. Build up some goodwill next week in week five as well, because it's a very thin, it is razor thin, the slate next week. Week six is the big one.
Is that true?
Week six is the big one, Dan. Build it up now. Cash it in later. Your window of opportunity. I'm going to get ballsy with it. I'm going to say the window of opportunity is in the evening. If you can get back to watch the end of the games, then do it. But use this week for a date night. I think it may work out in your favor.
I would say if you're out of your mind and those games don't appeal to you at 7 and you're a West Coast person, I mean, if you're a West Coast person, then it's not really date night because the late games are the good ones on the West Coast. UCLA, Stanford, Washington, Colorado, and I believe Oregon, Arizona State all kick off after it would be 7 o'clock Pacific,
right?
10 o'clock. I mean, Oregon, Arizona State shouldn't be that good. But Washington, Colorado, Pac-12 championship rematch, UCLA, Stanford, going to be a lot of offense, Bryce Love and Josh Rosen. So there's maybe an early date night on the West Coast. If you're on the East Coast and those games don't interest you, the 7 p.m. local time, and you want to watch the weird Pac-12 after dark, get your date a little bit drunk. Maybe they pass out, allow you to fully focus on Pac-12 after dark.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying, you know, it's a matter of prioritization.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of prioritization. And I think this could be a week, two straight weeks where you might be able to build up some relationship capital that you can cash in.
Tight. These nooners are kind of garbage.
The nooners are garbage. I'm making a calculated guess here, Dan.
See, I say go picnic at noon.
I have been married for longer than you.
Yeah, but not like a crazy long
time. Longer than you, my friend.
Okay. Okay. All right. Texas Tech Houston might be fun. Houston's secretly pretty good.
Let's dive in. Let's talk about the 3:30 Saturday game. This one on ESPN. It is in Stillwater, Oklahoma, the home of the All-American Rejects, I believe.
That sounds right. Swing, swing.
Oklahoma State, they are an 11.5 point favorite over TCU. Interestingly enough, did you know these teams have only started playing each other again more regularly over the last 5 years because TCU joined the Big 12, right?
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, and I don't know why, I was thinking that this was a game that was usually a close shootout-y kind of game, right?
Oh, no.
In reality, this game's mostly been a blowout and mostly 4-1 over the last 5 years in favor of Oklahoma State.
This is true.
So, you know, you look at that and I wonder, does that, should that shape your impression of a game like this, Dan, especially now that it's at Oklahoma State?
It doesn't really. I mean, Kenny Hill had a pretty disappointing game last year. I think Oklahoma State beat them 31-6, I want to say, and it was much worse the year before. But I just like Oklahoma State a whole bunch. I think TCU is going to limit them deep. Oklahoma State should be able to run some on TCU. But this Oklahoma State roster is getting deeper as they get more and more time. So going into third, fourth quarter, if it's closer than Oklahoma State games have been recently, there's more experience there for the Pokes. For the, I was going to say Cowboys and Pokes, and it just sort of came out
the
with Pokes.
Okay.
Kapokes. Kenny Hill was very good last week. Oklahoma State's a different beast. And defensively, they're not where they are offensively, but I still like Oklahoma State here in the range of 44-24. I think maybe it's close for a little while. Second half, Oklahoma State pulls away. I think they win by 20 and cover comfortably, but not easily.
So with confidence like that, is that lock territory? Are we going lock territory in the first game of our preview?
I can't do that because...
No?
Because TCU has a corner named Ranthony Ty.
Okay, right.
And he himself locks down receivers. And now... The Pokes have many receivers, but I roll with Ranthony Tejada, Ty. I don't know if you do. I roll. I ride.
That's right.
And so I can't lock that up, but I like Oklahoma State.
I'm with you to that extent. There's really been no reason to doubt anything Oklahoma State's done on offense. The real question with them is always defense.
Mm-hmm.
This team will go as far as the defense lets it. So far, the defense has actually looked pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Not against any offense inside the top 60, mind you, but hey, you play the teams on your schedule. They've got 6 takeaways in 3 games. They're not giving up big plays. These are all really good signs given where they've come from, you know, in the last year or so.
Mm-hmm.
Much of the same, though, could be said about TCU, right? Last week against SMU was not fantastic at all.
It was in the second half, yeah.
But all in all, much, much better efficiency on defense for TCU. What worries me in this game is their tendency to give up big running and passing plays. That's just not desirable when you're playing Oklahoma State and Junkyard Jim Washington. And oh, by the way, 28.1 yards per catch.
You like that number?
That is a big number. That's a problem. I think that is the difference in this football game. I am not nearly as sold on Oklahoma State as you are.
Why?
And maybe it's because they scorned us in the past with their defense. Just when you think they get it together, they go out and they lay a stinker. I think Oklahoma State's better. I think these two teams are closer than meets the eye. I think they win it at home, but it's lower scoring than maybe you'd think. I'm going to say close 38-31. I don't know if that's lower scoring, but... 38-31, Cowboys win, TCU covers.
Sort of relevant. Last year, Justice Hill at TCU averaged damn near 10 yards per carry.
Wow.
Improved TCU defense, but I think that's the name to watch as everybody rightfully puts attention, throws attention, bathes, blankets attention on the Oklahoma State passing attack with Mason Rudolph, you know, Marcel Aitman, all these guys. Justice Hill's real good.
And you brought up something a couple weeks ago that I want to harken back to for a second, if I could.
Please.
You mentioned that Justice Hill now has a partner in the backfield, right?
J.D. King.
And we kicked around the notion of, do we want King Justice or Justice King?
Mm-hmm.
I've been thinking a lot about Justice King as some sort of national chain law firm like H.R. Block.
But it's sort of cheap and like the Burger King-y. Justice King.
It's like the brick and mortar version of LegalZoom.com.
Yeah. I'm with that.
Former and now definitely former sponsor of the Solid Verbal.
But what I'm saying is, I think Justice King is premium content, premium quality.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not thinking it's a national chain. I don't think it's a daytime television sponsor.
I just think Justice King would be a great name for a national chain legal firm.
Yeah, and there will probably be somebody named Justice King soon.
I would think so.
Yeah.
So we both like Oklahoma State. You like them to cover.
Yes.
I like them to win and have TCU keep it fun, shootout-ish kind of game. Maybe one, again, that you should watch when you're doing your chores, getting ready for date night.
We disagree, but kind of agree.
Saturday at 3:30, CBS, also on at the same time, Alabama, an 18.5-point road favorite at Vanderbilt. Dan, some home dog potential here.
You going to pull that mustard trigger?
I'm not.
Okay.
I wouldn't. I really want to root for Vandy here.
Yeah.
And I took this game deep into the laboratory. Okay. I used the scientific method, let's say, to try and figure out a way for Vanderbilt to win and or cover.
And how'd that go?
And if I could get explicit here for a second.
Always. You know I'm ready.
If I could quote Spaceballs, and if the kids out there could earmuff it.
Yeah.
Man, we ain't found shit. I got nothing here on how Vandy's going to keep this close. I think the more exciting game to play is, will Vandy score more than 13 points against Alabama's defense? That's the game I'm playing here.
I'm worried. I'm worried about that 13-point threshold. I don't think Vandy gets there. But, however, I think Vandy can cover this game.
Really?
Vanderbilt's defense is specifically built, and we saw this when Derek Mason was at Stanford. We've seen it at Vandy. They very rarely give up points, Ty. They, you know, the bowl game wasn't pretty against NC State, and they gave up points to Tennessee. But outside of those couple games, in their last like 14 or 15 games, I don't know that they've given up 30 points outside of those couple games in regulation. Like, they're just, they keep teams down. They have speed on the field. They're very sound. They develop playmakers. You know, last year was Zach Cunningham. Last couple years was Zach Cunningham. This year, Charles Wright is, I believe, leading the nation in sacks against FBS opponents. And so they're developing talent. They're sound. They're disciplined. And they can't themselves score many points just because that offense is not that good. Kyle Shermer's improved. But I think they can cover. I think they're built to hang with a team like Alabama, who was more sort of dual threat centric. I'm going to say Vanderbilt loses this game, but home dog me, the door is tied. 23-7 Alabama, 23-7.
The Yakos, home dog of the week.
Yeah.
23-7.
Yes. Yes.
Jeez.
So they lose by, my math says, 16 points with an 18.5-point spread. They cover.
Did I talk you into that? Is that my fault that you...
Nope, this is all me. This is all my wrongdoing.
I was just screwing around when I said home dog of the week here. Vandy's a great story.
Yeah.
And I know this is a cop-out, but truly, the best thing I can do if I'm rooting for a team is to lock up their opponents. So, Dan...
Lock of the week.
I am going to go Alabama in a classic Alabama crockpotting here.
Ooh.
I would like to experience this prediction with the help from a crockpotting sound sent in to us from our good friend Marcello.
Honey, it's ready.
What do you think of that one? I like that one.
It was very quick for a crockpotting. It needs to happen first.
Honey, it's ready.
I like it. I really like it.
It also sounds like she's just getting high. That's what it also sounds like, but that's fine too.
Well, on that note, we've got a bunch of other crockpotting sounds that were sent in to us. And if you'd like to contribute your own, you could do so, solidverbal@gmail.com. Yeah. If this game is in fact a real crockpotting, I'll play some of the other sounds that were sent in. We got some really, really fun ones. I sent them all to you. Actual important people in like the motion picture and entertainment industry at large, sending in their submissions to this.
I don't want to give too much away. Names.
But I mean, Jay-Z, we had Skrillex, who was pretty big into crockpotting.
A submission from a Mr. David Hyde Pierce. I don't want, Liz, that's, I dropped the name. It doesn't reflect well on me, but I had to do it. When I listened to it again, she's getting high and they were making bagel bites and that was the egg timer, the timer on the toaster.
Honey, it's ready.
Tostino's pizza rolls, perhaps.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
All right.
Molten lava in the inside.
All right. 7 p.m. on SEC Network.
Mm-hmm.
Woo, we've got the Florida Gators, a 3-point road favorite at Kentucky, Dan.
Yeah.
Would you care to hazard a guess how many times Kentucky's beaten Florida since 1986?
It has to be at least what, 7, 8, 9 times.
You're gonna have
right?
to go a little bit lower.
Okay, so 3, 4, maybe 5 times.
Go a little, just a smidge lower if you could.
Couple times, Ty.
The answer is 0.
Yeah. Ooh.
0, a goose egg. Florida has mm-hmm. won this game for 30 straight years.
That's many years, yeah.
30 years!
Mm-hmm.
Good hell.
Is the solid wife 30 years old?
Barely.
Okay, okay. So she has barely been around for a Kentucky victory, or just since the streak began.
Unbelievable. Let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see any kind of letdown effect for Florida here after the emotional game win on the Hail Brenda, as we're calling it,
mm-hmm.
a week after the hurricane at home? Like, a lot of emotional stuff going on. They found their way on offense in the fourth quarter. Now you go on the road to Kentucky, a team that has played well so far. Hasn't lost yet. They're at home at night, and you know that they're probably very hungry to get their first win in 30 tries.
So that was my gut, Ty. My gut was, you know, let down after a huge win, last second win, going to the road, and not that it's all that difficult to play in Lexington as compared to other places in the SEC, and Kentucky's defense has been pretty decent at times. The problem is, where Florida appears to be vulnerable, which is strange to say because defensively this is a program, this is a team, this is a school that has been so good and so talented for so long on defense. But if they are vulnerable, it is on the ground, as John Kelly was able to exploit a bit, and Michigan's back, Ty Isaac backs, were able to exploit a bit. And they're still pretty locked down through the air. They force turnovers. They cover receivers pretty well. And Kentucky has been such garbage on the ground.
Yeah.
So I don't believe Kentucky is built to ultimately beat Florida. Florida's vulnerable. I think Felipe Franks has a good amount of talent, and it will slowly and incrementally come along. I think Florida wins this game 24-20, and they barely cover, but wow. The streak continues.
Yeah.
I'm still sticking with that 4 points, like 17-13.
Yeah. See, I was going to say, that's a lot of points for Kentucky. For Kentucky to win, this game's got to end up with a final of 13-9 or something like that. You know, and if it's Florida's offense
possible
that we're talking about here, it's not entirely out of the question.
Yeah.
That it could be a very, very low scoring game, but their defense is still pretty good. And Kentucky, I think you're right. They're going to have a hard time moving the football, especially on the ground. There is a chance, maybe a chance. I don't want to get ahead of my skis here, but there's a chance that Florida's offense found another gear in the fourth quarter of that Tennessee game. And maybe they bottle up that offensive Nutella, as you called it a week ago. Maybe they butter themselves
up.
Maybe they butter it on nice and thick in Lexington. I say they win this game 27-13, Dan, and let's get saucy.
Whoa.
Lock of the week.
Wow.
Double barrel SEC lock of the week. I went Bama. I had Bama marked down on my crib sheet. And I'm feeling dangerous here. Let's go Florida as well.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ty Hildenbrandt, that's for sure, making a big pick. Good for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Do you like Nutella?
It's okay.
Yeah. I don't really love sweet breakfast. It's fine. Yeah. So I like a donut, obviously, but I'm not a huge fan of sweet breakfast. And now I can't really eat it with Jody with an eye being allergic to tree nuts. So limits my Nutella consumption.
Let's talk about Harry's, Dan.
Let's.
I use Harry's once every third day is my rotation right now.
When you're gone, people describe how clean your face is constantly.
Once every third day is my rotation. I like Harry's because for a long time I was shaving with the razors made by other more name brands. And, you know, those were fine. They got the job done. But it wasn't until I switched to Harry's that I grew a fond appreciation for the flexibility of the Harry's razor, the construction of the Harry's razor, the grip that I got, the solid death-like kung fu grip that I got on a Harry's razor that gave me a nice, clean, smooth, close precision shave.
Good hand feel, Ty?
Oh, the best. The best, Dan. A comfortable glide, you name it. Harry's is so confident that you will love their blades the way I have, that they will give you a trial set for free. for free. All you got to do is cover
a great price.
Cover the shipping. You can get for free a trial set with a weighted ergonomic razor handle, five precision engineered blades with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, a rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover, which I would contend is one of the more underrated parts of this kit.
Yeah.
It's a $13 value that they will allow you to try for free, Dan. Again, they take less profit. They're not interested in raking you over the coals here. They sell directly to you over the internet. They offer their blades at half the price, $2 per blade compared to $4, which is what you might pay, if you're going out to the local drugstore and try to buy a different brand. Stop messing around. Get started today. Shave with Harry's. Claim your free trial offer. Again, a $13 value for free if you pay the shipping. Right now, all you got to do is go to harrys.com, harrys.com/solid.
Ty, if you're going to strip your face nude, you need premium products here. And that's what Harry's
I'm saying. harrys.com/solid. You can get that $13 value for free. All you got to do is cover the shipping.
Yeah.
There you have it. Okay. Speaking of smooth, speaking of attractive, Dan.
Yeah. You talking about Rob Thomas?
No.
Okay.
Let's go to Saturday night at 7 p.m. also on ESPN.
This is a hot one, though, Ty. Like 7 inches from the midday sun.
Relative to other action this week, I think it's pretty hot.
Right.
Georgia at home in Athens, a 5.5-point home favorite over the Mississippi State Bulldogs, Dan. Can you tell me how many FBS schools start with the letter M?
Start with the letter M?
Yeah. Mississippi State's one of them.
Okay. Does Ole Miss count, or because it could be Mississippi?
I will give you Mississippi. That would be
Maryland.
That will be four because you already mentioned Missouri.
Mitsu, Middle Tennessee State.
That's correct.
Memphis. Michigan State.
Hold on. You're going too fast here.
I have all the answers.
Michigan State. Okay.
No Maine, no Montana, no Notre Dame. I'm tapped out at this point. Well, who am I? Miami.
There are two Miamis you can go.
Two Miamis.
Miami, Ohio, Miami, Florida. You've got 1, 2, 3 left. Come on.
Three left.
There are 13 in total. Can he do it?
I've named 10. What am I missing here? I can't think of another one in Missouri. Montana isn't. Montana State is not. I don't know, Ty.
The three you're missing are Minnesota in the Big Ten.
Oh, gosh.
Marshall in Conference USA. You got Middle Tennessee. Are. And Massachusetts, which is a UMass. Tough one to get because everyone knows them as UMass.
Yeah.
But there's 13.
That's a lot. That's many.
I don't know why I brought that up. I found it interesting.
Trivia break.
Let me pivot to a different question. Is Georgia all that different from LSU?
Ooh, good question. Well, this game is at Georgia, so at least that's different situationally than LSU last week against Mississippi State. Danny Etling has more experience in college football, but not more experience for his team than, I don't know who's starting this game, if it's Fromm or Eason. Is there a note on who is starting?
I believe it's Fromm.
It is going to be Jake Fromm. We don't know for sure if he is Jake's superior yet.
No, we have no idea.
Or if he is less than Jake. But, I would say the home field factor and an offensive coordinator who has more time with his offense separates them a little bit. And a win over a good team, which LSU did not have going into their game against Mississippi State, which Georgia does. I mean, at least a decent team in Notre Dame. They could be good.
I'm trying to figure out if Mississippi State's defense is better than what we thought, or if LSU's offense is worse, right? Because what stands out from last...
It could be both, Ty.
It could be both. In fairness, it could be both. What really stands out to me from last week's game, the 37-7 beatdown of LSU, is how bad LSU was at throwing the ball. You mentioned Danny Etling. I'm not sure if it's because they had to lean a little more on Etling because they fell behind or what, but the numbers, if you look at them, were bad. They were bad. And as a whole, on offense for LSU, fewer than 4 yards per play. So Mississippi State, you were right about Mississippi State. We talked in the preseason when we did our previews. They're rebuilding in their front seven. Jeffrey Simmons, dog. He gonna eat this year, okay?
Yeah.
They're playing extremely well right now defensively, and they've got the wind at their back now after a 30-point win against LSU. That game was not even close.
Not particularly.
So now, coming into this game, I am inclined to say that Mississippi State's better all around than Georgia. Because I like the way that they look on offense. Certainly, I like the way they look on defense. And I just, as a whole, like the fact that it's not all Nick Fitzgerald all the time. Aris Williams ripping off 7 yards a carry. Kirby Smart today compared him to Le'Veon Bell. That's how good he's been.
The patience is there, absolutely.
The offensive line has played really well.
Agreed.
So I think this is a close game. I think it's decided by 3 or 4 points. I am going to take Mississippi State outright in another upset 2 weeks in a row, but I think a really good game, even if you're not into it, even if it's not hot enough for you, maybe you're out on date night watching this one, corner of your eye, streaming on the phone, 28-24, clanga, clanga, clanga on the road over the Georgia Bulldogs.
So if Georgia wins this game comfortably, it will be because their offensive line keeps moving forward. They struggled to separate for a while against Samford. Last week, I know they won, by 28 points?
Right.
But it was 21-7 at halftime, which is fine. They finally sort of got it together and wore them down on the ground. Something that was interesting in rewatching the Mississippi State-LSU game was the fact that Nick Fitzgerald, he had command, he made some throws for first downs, but wasn't particularly accurate or good downfield. Which, you know, they connected on a couple of these RPO broken type plays for touchdowns, which all credit to Mississippi State. That's great. That's wonderful. That's what you should do. But if Georgia forces them to be efficient, if Georgia forces them to have to rip off explosion plays every once in a while and doesn't get sucked into RPO type plays, I think Mississippi State's in a little bit of trouble. I think Georgia's a little bit bigger and better up front at this point than LSU is against the run. So if they are able to force Nick Fitzgerald to beat them through the air, I think, well, I was going to say the Bulldogs, but they're both said dogs. I think Mississippi State could be in a bit of trouble. I think, though, at the same time, Mississippi State is good enough to keep it close because I don't have all that much faith in Georgia's offense.
Yeah, right.
Against at least a pretty good Mississippi State defense and very good front. I don't think they're going to be able to stretch the field. So in a case like this, I'm going to take the points. I think Mississippi State is efficient enough to find themselves in enough second and threes, third and fours to keep drives going. So I have 20-17 Georgia in a game that's not terribly dissimilar from the Georgia-Notre Dame game, except it's in Athens. It's between the hedges.
Yes.
And so I'm going to go Georgia to win, but Mississippi State to cover.
The other thing I want people to watch for, and I haven't seen who the announcers are for this game yet, 7 p.m. on ESPN. Nick Fitzgerald is from the state of Georgia, and he's going back to Georgia to play this game. It's going to be the last time, perhaps, in his college career when he's going to play a game in the state of Georgia. I would expect that to be a factoid that may only interest your play-by-play commentator.
It obviously interests you.
It doesn't interest
you
me.
You know, it itches that split.
I'm giving people something to watch for if you're looking for a little nugget. Something to find amusing that will 100% be, you know, the kind of thing, the devil going back to Georgia, maybe if he takes the game by storm. Just saying. Saturday, 7:30, ABC, Penn State. The Nittany Lions, a 12.5-point road favorite at Iowa. Dan, and I gotta mention, I am required by law to mention, every time these teams play, I have violent flashbacks to the 2004 installment of this game where Iowa won 6-4 in State College. And I was there. You never get over something like that.
I don't believe it's going to be 6-4 this year.
I don't either, but let me ask you, how many points does Iowa need to score to win this game?
34?
Can
gives them a shot.
Can that's a fair assessment.
Okay.
Can they score 34 points against Penn State's defense?
So we don't know a ton about Penn State's defense beyond they've been lights out against clearly inferior opponents. And Pitt's offense and defense, for the most part, has been dreck. It's been atrocious.
I'm sorry, did you say Pitt? I think you meant Akron.
Excuse me. Akron, Pitt, and it was a Georgia Southern. I am not a big believer right now, even though Iowa's offense has looked better. I'm not a big believer in Iowa's defense being able to slow down Penn State to the point that it'll give their own offense a chance, because they've been kind of disappointing against the run. Last week, you know, North Texas was able to run on them a little bit, and bad news, Saquon Barkley is better than what North Texas has to offer.
Yep.
And improved North Texas, but not Saquon improved. So I think Penn State should be able to control things on the ground. It'll open things up over the top. It's a night game, right?
Night game.
It'll be a tough environment. I think ultimately Penn State just prevents Iowa enough and frustrates them enough that Iowa's just not going to be able to keep up with the Penn State speed. But I think it'll be relatively close, and I would go into this game pretty worried if I were a Penn State fan. But I don't think they're a team built to hang with Penn State for four quarters. Not now, especially after seeing what happened last year.
Well, that's a good point. I think this has the makings of a game where Penn State trails 7-0 after the first quarter. And you're watching the crawl. Maybe you're all into LSU Syracuse. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're watching that game and you look at the bottom and say, oh, 7-0 Iowa after one quarter. That's interesting. Maybe I'll call the reverb line at 408 verbal one.
Yeah.
Iowa's going to run the Pitt game plan here. And hopefully they do a better job of it, but they're going to try to drain the clock. They're going to try to limit possessions.
I like that you call it the Pitt game plan after you wanted them to do the same thing against Oklahoma State last week, and it did not work.
They're going to try a modified Pitt game plan.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're going to be better at it. They're going to be better at it across the board, certainly better at it at play action than Pitt was with Max Brown. Because Iowa's a better team than Pitt. They're much better than Pitt.
Yeah, they are.
But at some point, Penn State turns it on. This was kind of their MO last season, right? They got to the second half. They turned it on in the second half. I don't know. Maybe it starts with an Iowa turnover because Penn State's +7 this year in the turnover department. Maybe they get a takeaway. Maybe it's a big play from Saquon. Something that you're watching for. We know he's good at doing that, right? Sooner or later, Penn State flips the switch, and I think at that point they run away with this thing. So I'm with you. I could see it being close. I think if you're a Penn State fan, I think you've got reason to worry because it's a weird night setting in Iowa City, right?
Mm-hmm.
But sooner or later, Penn State runs away with it because Iowa's not built to last four quarters against the Nittany Lions. 31-17, give me the Nits.
Yeah, I'm taking Penn State. I'm giving the points. The spread is what, 12.5?
12.5, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to say 38-20.
We agree.
We agree.
Saturday at 8 p.m. on Fox. It's
I'm excited for all of these games, and you're telling people to go out to dinner on the East Coast.
Look,
you're killing
people,
me.
People can judge for themselves.
Okay.
I'm not physically coming to, 50,000 American households and twisting arms and telling people, you must go and go get a lobster tail dinner. I'm not saying that.
So what is your recommendation? What is your dinner recommendation for those that want to watch games earlier and later?
I don't know. Don't make me do the dinner thing. I can't even say half the Blue Apron meals that we advertise in this show.
I say go Spanish. Get
Spanish?
Some
Spanish? Sure. I'm fine with that.
Get some chorizo. Yeah, absolutely.
What I didn't tell you at the top of the show, and maybe I should have offered a disclaimer. I will be attending a piano recital.
Ooh, fancy.
A piano recital for my 7-year-old niece during Saturday.
Are there other people performing?
I believe there are other.
You should boo the other kids.
Well, that's a bold move.
Oh, Ty. What time is the recital?
Recital is mid-afternoon, around 2 okay. p.m.
Ty, you should tailgate before the recital. You should just pop open one of those tailgating chairs in the parking lot, crack open a choice local brew,
okay,
and just set the tone.
That would be setting a tone. I believe the recital's at a nursing home, so
That's great, Ty. You don't think those guys want to party?
I'm sure they do.
Absolutely.
I'm sure they do. Yeah.
Okay. Tailgate at a nursing home before a recital. It's a no-brainer.
Oh, God. Speaking of which, Notre Dame.
Ooh, that was not... I didn't know it was at a nursing home, but here we are with the universe just lining things up perfectly.
8 p.m. on Fox. It's a Gus game. Mm-hmm. Notre Dame, a four-point road favorite at Michigan State. You'll remember, even if you weren't a fan of either of these teams, it was a fun game last year in Notre Dame, 36-28. Pretty much all downhill for both these schools after that game.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're fixing for another fun one. It's a Gus Johnson game, which we know means that weird Gus Johnson vibe in the air, probably a crazy close one. Mm-hmm. A lot of freakouts giving me some more fantasy points, right?
Oh, absolutely. Ty, can I cut you off real quick? Sorry, I just have to handle Papa. No, it's not on NBC.
Okay.
I know you like the Jimmy Fallon. No, he's great. No, it's Fox with the rabbit ears. Yes. Okay.
Notre Dame people hate that drop in, but everyone else loves it. We get the messages.
That's fine.
Everyone else loves it. So Notre Dame folks, you're going to have to deal with it. Mama H and I got into an argument this week.
Oh, what about?
It was a real knockdown, drag out argument via the telephone.
Okay. About what?
She says I'm being too hard on Brandon Wimbush this year.
Okay. So did our pal Jess Smetana. Who
really?
Went to Notre Dame recently. Yeah.
Why?
She blames the play calling, and she thinks it's great that they rush for however many, he run for 200 yards against Boston College?
He threw for like 96.
Yeah, he didn't throw well, but...
It wasn't that he threw like seven times. He tried to throw more. He couldn't do it.
It is her case that he was not allowed to get into a rhythm because it was too much in the way of bubble screening, Ty.
I don't buy that. Come on.
Yeah. I don't know, Ty. Come on. Who chooses to watch Notre
Dame?
Take
that over to Mom H's house, Jess.
Yeah.
Bring that over here. Kidding me. Here's what we're going to do, okay?
Okay.
This week, if you're watching this game, maybe you're out at the bar, maybe you're doing the double date thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
Whether you care about this game or not, grab a buddy. Let's play the Brandon Wimbush drinking game, shall we?
Oh, Ty, you're so rough on him. He's a young guy.
Let's play the Brandon Wimbush drinking game. The rules are very simple. One person, let's call him Person A, creatively. He takes a drink every time Brandon Wimbush double clutches and tries to scramble. Okay? Very easy.
Okay.
Not a design run, none of the zone read stuff. Double clutch, pulls it down, tries to scramble. That's Person A. One drink every time.
Mm-hmm.
The other person... You drink three every time he attempts a pass longer than 10 yards.
Okay.
Doesn't have to complete it. Just has to attempt it.
Okay.
I am willing to bet you that the double clutch scramble guy wins going away here.
But do you really win?
No, you don't win. But I'm saying
if
you're relegated to watching the game and you want something to keep you occupied, that's the drinking game you play. You need a buddy, but... I'm very frustrated with this offense if you haven't gathered here from listening to the podcast through now 4 weeks. Notre Dame should be the better team in the game. They've got more pieces on offense. They've got more pieces on defense. But I am not totally convinced they can score because I think the passing game's holding them up. So I would say forgive me, Mama H. Forgive me, Jess Smetana.
Tana.
I am unimpressed with Notre Dame's passing attack, and I will take Michigan State with the points. +4.
Okay.
At home.
Yeah, we really don't have a good concept, like we talked about at the top of the show, for what Michigan State is or is not. It's Bowling Green and I think Western Michigan, right? And Western Michigan's pretty decent. So Michigan State coming off a bye, correct?
That is correct, yeah.
With what we assume will be an at least an improved defense, it has shown itself to be pretty good thus far. The offense of Notre Dame has been relatively one-dimensional. They've started out slow. I don't remember what the score was against Boston College at the half, but this has been a Notre Dame team that does not explode out of the gates, correct?
That is correct, yeah.
Okay, just making sure. I am going to take Notre Dame the road. But I'm going to take those points as well. I think it's a 24-21 game. Notre Dame wins, they don't cover. Michigan State keeps it close. It's going to be a loud, electric environment in East Lansing. Michigan State will be improved this year. I don't know what their ceiling is. I don't think it's anywhere near where it's been the past couple years. which is to say they will not get shut out in the playoff this year.
That's right.
I can guarantee you that. But I'm going to go with the Irish here. I have the most to feel good about right now with Notre Dame. And my papa thinks Brandon Wimbush is a very nice
player. Am I being mean? Seriously, what do you think? You do.
No, I don't. You've done this show with me
every week, multiple times a week for 10 years now. Yeah. What do you think? Am I being unfair?
I don't think that much about unranked teams other than my own team. But yeah, there should be a higher production.
Thank you. There should be.
But I don't know if it's time to freak out and panic week three.
I'm beyond freak out and panic. That happened last year. I'm just living life.
Okay.
Living life. You're totally cool.
You're not even mad. You just think it's funny.
I guess I'll pick Notre Dame to win. I think they should win. We're both taking the points, though, at a minimum.
Yes. Woo! Next game.
All right. Let's take a breather and talk about Indochino, Dan.
Oh, I'd love to.
Indochino, they're making it easy to get a perfectly tailored suit at an incredible price. You can choose from hundreds of top quality fabrics. Personalize your suit just the way you want it.
Yeah.
Whether it's for work or a wedding or a wedding or a wedding, Dan.
I'm married already, Ty.
A wedding. We've talked about it on the show. That's true. Get it for the wedding. You want to stand out. Indochino, that's where you go. They suited up hundreds of thousands of guys. They are now the largest made-to-measure menswear brand in the world. Go to the wedding, whether you're actually participating in the wedding ceremony, whether you're just going there to be cool, put out the vibe, I don't know, but stand out. Go to Indochino.com and get a custom suit. It's Indochino.com.
Mm-hmm.
Either go there, drop by one of their 9 North American showrooms. You can pick from hundreds of fabrics and patterns. You can choose every last customization from lapels to pleats to jacket linings and much, much more. You submit your body measurements, then you kick back and relax. You get the best damn suit you've ever had in just 4 weeks, Dan.
Here's my thought, Ty, as it relates to Indochino and these beautifully tailored suits. The better you look in your suit, the less effort you have to make with everything else. So, you know, maybe you're just, you're hungover a little bit from the night before and your face is a little bit puffy. You shave with your Harry's razor.
Put on a suit, right?
You put on that suit. Yeah. And that's what people are drawn to. They're like, ooh, Ty really has it together. I don't know what's going on with his face, but everything else is just, he's looking crisp.
This is right out of the Tim Gunn playbook here, Dan. Good for you.
Thank you. Isn't Tim Gunn Project Runway?
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah, if you're a bad dancer, if you eat a little bit sloppily, it's okay because you have a nicely tailored suit. And people just in the back of their minds subconsciously assume, well, he's got his life together. He's put together nicely, even if the surrounding elements, Ty, are in disarray. So it's good to cover for weakness is what I'm saying.
This week, our listeners get any premium Indochino suit for just $379.
Hell yeah.
Go to Indochino.com, enter SOLID at checkout. S-O-L-I-D. 50% off the regular price. For that, you get a made-to-measure premium suit. Free shipping. Again, Indochino.com. Promo code is SOLID. Any premium suit, just $379 and free shipping. Never have to worry about a badly fitting suit or an expensive trip to the tailor ever again. Get ready to look like $1 million.
Do it.
All right, let's move on to the crazy Pac-12 After Dark night games, Dan.
Let's.
This one is on FS1, 10 p.m. Eastern, Washington, a 10-point road favorite at Colorado. Some may recall this is a matchup of last year's Pac-12 championship game. I look at it, I understand why the line is only 10. I understand it.
Only 10? Wow.
It feels to me like it should be higher. Because it's virtually the same Washington team that clobbered Colorado last year. And Colorado is replacing a lot of key pieces.
Yeah, I just... Colorado's defense has been pretty damn good this year. Level of opponent has not been great. Game's in Colorado. They stopped Washington through the air last year. And Jake Browning was dealing with injuries. I know this. But they did a really good job. And I'm more concerned about Colorado's own offense against this Washington defense than I am their defense, even with the losses, including Jim Levitt, who is now, of course, the defensive coordinator at Oregon. I think Colorado can hang in this game, but I don't think they can keep up for four quarters. I think it's a little bit similar to me to the Iowa-Penn State game. I think there's too much firepower for Washington. I think they've gotten into a nice place momentum-wise, rhythm-wise after that Rutgers game. I don't know if Colorado's just going to be able to possess the ball enough. I'm going to take Washington to win by a couple touchdowns. Lock it up for me, Ty.
Whoa!
Lock of the week.
And here's, Ty, here's the difference to me as well. Washington is getting free points, and I understand special teams is not free, but Dante Pettis is, he's a dangerous man, Ty. And I think Washington's going to be able to generate points in too many ways for Colorado to keep up. So I have this at, let's call it 34-17. The Huskies take it. And it's, Colorado is fun, but I don't think it's an impossible, it's not going to SC, it's not going to Oregon in terms of environment. It's not, like, even going to Martin Stadium. Colorado's fun, but it's not a hornet's nest, as we like to say.
Am I allowed to go three locks?
A triple barrel lock?
Am I allowed to?
Just looking like Jimmy Page with one of those triple guitars?
That's right,
sure.
That's right.
Do it.
Lock of the week.
I say this with all due respect to our friend Rich in Boulder, who needs to send us more pictures of himself in a snazzy Colorado jacket.
God. Yeah.
He will be at this game. I will use that picture next week in the newsletter, I promise. I think Washington's better. I think they pounded out on the ground. I think they set up the pass very nicely for Jake Browning. Mm-hmm. I could see it being close for a little while, and I could see maybe Colorado getting a touchdown in garbage time to make it seem closer than it is. But give me 31-14. Washington goes on the road and wins.
Here's my concern, Ty. The sort of external factor concern, nothing to do with this matchup itself. Where did Washington struggle on the road last year? Arizona, they went to overtime. There was some just huge explosion plays from Arizona, and they did a good job containing the Washington offense. They also struggled at Utah. And, you know, maybe it's an altitude thing, Ty.
Okay.
Maybe the Huskies have some tough times breathing.
Okay.
Good defense in Colorado? I don't know. Maybe there is something weird to that. I'm not going to full-on reverse course with my lock, tie because that would be disingenuous. But something to pay attention to if there's some oxygen tanks being attended to third, fourth quarter.
And then Saturday at 10:30 p.m. on ESPN, this one at Stanford, a 7.5-point line in favor of the Cardinal as UCLA comes to town. This is a clash of two Pac-12 teams, yeah, that went on the road last week and had disappointing losses. UCLA lost that shootout on the road in Memphis, the early body clock game. Stanford went down to Qualcomm Stadium. They dealt with the electrical elements of the lights going out on the final drive and lost what looked like a really good defensive showing by San Diego State in a 20-17 close one. Looked awful throwing the football, right?
Yes.
I am torn on this game. Stanford has been far less than impressive two straight weeks now because they can't throw.
Against at least pretty good teams, though.
At least pretty good teams. They can give it to Bryce Love, and he's averaging over 12 a carry, which is nice.
Ridiculous.
But that's about it. Defensively, they've kind of been a disappointment, too.
Yeah.
Gosh, I'm going to give Stanford one final pull here because they're at home. David Shaw, I saw he gave Keller Christ a vote of confidence. I think I'm going to give them one final chance here. Let's say 31-21. They beat UCLA at home.
So we've got this trapezoid of disappointment in Stanford and UCLA coming together in a weirdly shaped game. Second straight road game for UCLA after the Memphis loss, obviously. And Stanford and David Shaw have owned UCLA and Jim Mora. They have certainly haven't played against this offense, which has been pretty prolific. Josh Rosen's had a great year. But we're also at the point where we kind of see this. Stanford starts slow and we're like, what's wrong with Stanford? Why are they so conservative in their play call? Is this the end of the set? And then they just rip off 9 straight wins.
Yeah, right.
And it seems like it's this a weird slow start thing where David Shaw doesn't fully trust his offense early on in the season. They lose a couple games they shouldn't, or they lose, you know, the Northwestern game early on that created the body clock phenomenon. There's something strange about early September Stanford. I don't think they're as good as at least I thought they were in August, and that's okay because I'm always wrong. But I don't think they're as bad as what's wrong with Stanford. Keller Christ is the worst thing ever. Like, they have what might be the most explosive running back in the country going against a god-awful defense in UCLA. This is it's a wonderful matchup for Stanford offensively. Even if they're conservative, they should be able to move the ball consistently. UCLA should be able to move the ball against Stanford's defense, which has been disappointing. I don't know if UCLA has been able to control the game. UCLA still has Josh Rosen, who is going to put up stupid yards and will have a stupid play or three. I'm going to take Stanford at home, 38-28. They cover and win this game.
38-28. We agree.
Yes. We agree.
All right. Let's go rapid fire here.
UCLA just wants to get back to Pasadena.
Yeah, they do. Let's go rapid fire here through, I don't know, a group of 10 games here very quickly. Yep. Saturday, it's a nooner. NC State, a 12-point road dog at Florida State. It's going to be 21 days, actually. Mm-hmm. 21 days since Florida State played their last game. Mm-hmm. I think they are ready to go. I am certain that they win this game because their defense is far superior, but I think there's a chance it could be closer, maybe because they're rusty, maybe because they've got a new starting quarterback. I could see maybe some sort of backdoor cover for NC State. I don't know, but I'm going to say 31-21, Florida State wins this game at home.
I'm going to take the points. 21 days off is a lot of time off. I think there is going to be a little bit of rust, especially with a new starting quarterback not fully having game speed ready in his mind. So I'm going to say NC State, they still play defense really, really well. I think offensively they've improved since the opening week, and they move the ball really well against South Carolina. I say 27-17 Florida State, that the Noles take it, and maybe even lower scoring, 24. Actually, yeah, I'm 24-17 Florida State.
Saturday at noon, another nooner, Texas A&M against Arkansas, this one being played in Jerry's World in Arlington, Texas. The Aggies are a 2.5-point neutral site favorite. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I'm going in on A&M here.
In what way?
I'm going.
Which direction?
I'm going in on A&M. They've been less than impressive, to say the bare minimum so far this season. But I just get that feeling in my gut that they're going to have an impressive win here and they're going to shut up some of the critics. Give me the Aggies here. I'll say 31-21.
Ty rides with Kellen Mond.
That's right, baby.
Ty rides.
Hey, he had a pretty good game last week.
He was, yeah, congratulations against the Raging Cajuns. I would like to take Texas A&M. They do a good job of stopping the run. If nothing else, they've done a great job up front stopping the run. The level of opponent has been great, but they played UCLA pretty tough defensively until they didn't. Arkansas is a semi-real team. Texas A&M has struggled with not fully real teams. I'd love to take Arkansas. I'm going to take A&M in Jerry World. God, I don't have a good reason, though, Ty.
Nor do I. That's where I'm at.
All right. So just, I'm going to take Arkansas. Screw it. Give me Arkansas. +2.5.
Saturday at 12:20.
Mm-hmm.
Just to be a little bit different in ACC territory, we've got Pitt against Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech, a 7.5-point favorite. I have seen nothing now from Pitt that leads me to believe they can beat anybody with a reasonable offense. And Georgia Tech damn well should have beaten Tennessee back in week 1. Give me Georgia Tech here at home minus the points.
Yeah, Georgia Tech minus a good chunk. Pitt's defense is terrible. They match up very well.
Saturday, 3:30, USC, a 17-point road favorite against the Cal Golden Bears. They're undefeated so far this season. They're playing sound defense. They were able to run the ball a week ago. They've got a promising quarterback. Give my boy Ross Bowers, but I got to go Trojans here. Give me the Trojans. I'm laying the points.
Ty, play that trap sound for me, please.
It's a trap. It's a trap.
Wow, going Admiral Akbar here?
Absolutely I am.
Whoa.
Because Cal beat whom last week, Ty?
Ole Miss.
And who should be the rightful mascot?
It should be Admiral Akbar.
It should, absolutely. The Rebel Army leader should be Admiral Akbar. And I think that, you know, the spirit of Akbar let some magical moon dust stick around Strawberry Canyon. I'm going to take Cal to cover. I don't think they can win, but USC coming off an emotional overtime win against Texas. They have a short week after this game going to the Palouse to take on a ranked Washington State team with an experienced quarterback. Cal is sort of sneaky on defense, which is very strange to say. Ross Bowers stands in there nicely and makes some throws. They've been able to run the ball. They've got some receiving talent. Cal's still a year or two away from really being consistently good in the Pac-12, but I think this is a nice spot to get SC. I think it's, you know, the weekender is always, it can be a little bit weird. Cal competes. I think SC ultimately wins this game, but it's 31-24 Trojans. Cal covers. How about that?
I like that. That's a good one. I like that.
Thank you.
All right. Saturday, 3:30, Rutgers at Nebraska. It's a cruel prank for Nebraska fans that this one is on the list, but I found it interesting to say the least because Nebraska is in a very precarious situation right now. They are 12.5-point home favorite. I know Nebraska fans are a bit beside themselves because things have clearly not gone according to the plan so far this year. I think Nebraska should win and cover this game.
I think so.
I hope so for their sake. And that is going to be my official selection. But if we reconvene on Sunday, and for some odd reason, Rutgers should find a way to mount a charge and win this game, I'm hoping for some Chip Kelly to Lincoln rumors. I'm hoping that maybe there are some out there that can get me some points for the fantasy things.
See, here's why I don't think that can happen, Ty. Nebraska fans are very realistic about their place in college. I think Nebraska wins this game in a statement game. Nebraska isn't particularly good, but they should be able to move the ball well enough. And Rutgers, really, if anywhere they've improved, it's been on defense. I just don't think they're going to be able to ultimately stay up with Nebraska. I think the Huskers win this game 38-13.
Saturday, 3:30, Duke, 2.5-point favorite on the road against North Carolina. Dan, it's the old Tobacco Road rivalry. I'm going to go Duke here. Duke's been pretty good. Daniel Jones has been really good so far this year. I'm going to roll with the Dukies.
Give me the Dukies.
Saturday at 4, Michigan minus 10 on the road against whom? That's the Purdue Boilermakers, Dan. My Yakko's home dog of the week.
Whoa.
The Yakko's home dog of the week.
I don't think Purdue is good enough to win this game. Okay. But I think Jeff Brohm's already proven that he's a guy who can scheme. He's a guy who can go out there and make an immediate impact with the personnel groupings that he's dealing with there at Purdue. They will improve over time for as long as he remains. At this point, I think we've learned enough to know that. And I think they are going to be fired up for this game. This is a big one in West Lafayette. So I don't know if they win, but I could see him keeping it close. It's not like Michigan's got the offense that they're going to go out there and blow the doors off anybody. Give me Michigan to win this game. I'm going to say 27-20. Purdue covers at home, a 10-point spread.
So Michigan right now is in a spot where people have begun asking themselves, what's wrong with Michigan's offense? What is there? Is Wilton Spate the guy? Is this offensive line really on the level that it should be for Michigan? Is Michigan going to have to win every game with defense? They're going to Ross Aid, Ty. This is a Purdue team that's pretty fun. It's pretty dangerous. If you read Ian Boyd, I tweeted it earlier out from the Solid Verbal account. They're doing some fun spread, pro-style, hybrid-type stuff. Really picking on the seams. Some fun trick plays. I think this is a bad matchup for Michigan.
I agree.
I think Purdue's going to be able to score a couple touchdowns, three touchdowns maybe. think Michigan score a couple touchdowns. I don't know, Ty. Something's just wrong in the air. There's clouds swirling. I am going to take Purdue.
Outright.
I'm going to take Purdue to cover. Okay. And I'm going to take Purdue outright.
Whoa!
How about that, Ty?
Whoa.
I have a brother who went to Purdue. I have a wife who went to Michigan. And I'm just feeling Boiler up for whatever reason, Ty.
Wow.
I'm feeling Boiler up. I think they're able to move the ball. I think Wilton Spate makes a couple of mistakes. I think Nick Holt coaches up this Purdue defense to the point where they maybe force a turnover or two. It's low scoring. Let's call it 20-17. Purdue takes it in the first huge upset of the season.
That would be a monster upset. Monster.
I mean, they were what? A touchdown worse than Louisville, granted week one on a neutral field?
They killed Missouri. Missouri is nothing to get all that excited about, but still, they dominated them.
I don't know. Purdue's one of those teams. I wouldn't want any part of them.
All right, let's go to three games very quickly in the evening. Oklahoma -27 at I promised that I wouldn't say that team. So let's just move on. Let's just move on. Saturday
Oklahoma is favored by 26 in a Big 12 matchup.
That's right.
Do you feel like they can cover the 26 points in this Big 12 matchup?
I think they can, yes.
I think they can too, Ty.
Saturday, 7 p.m., Syracuse at LSU. LSU off the loss. Darius Geis, quote unquote, very questionable for this game. I expect a win and to cover, although if Syracuse can find a way to get its offense on track in this game, it stands to reason they could at least keep it somewhat interesting.
Yeah, Syracuse has not been able to generate huge chunk plays with any sort of consistency early on. I think LSU wins this game going away. I think they're act together against the Syracuse defense. I don't have a ton of confidence in this offense against the better defenses on their schedule. Syracuse does not fall under that category.
I'm going to go LSU minus the points. And finally, Saturday, 10 p.m., you'll be awake for this one.
Yeah, I will be.
Oregon -15 on the road at ASU. Tell me what I should know about this game.
You should know that you should have the sound of Kristen Cavallari at the ready.
Yeah?
Dunzo!
I think ASU's defense might render the Sun Devils dunzo, Ty.
Yeah,
just on the season as a whole, they have not been good. I'm going to go with Oregon to roll comfortably here. And ASU's offense is pretty interesting. They can put points up, but against an improved Oregon defense, I think Oregon wins this game comfortably. I have the Ducks 49-28.
I'm with you. I think Oregon wins going away.
Oregon's what, 10 straight, I think, against ASU now?
Yeah, it's something like that. Some people said that ASU has taken a step back this year.
Yeah.
It's more like a trust fall without the trust. I mean, it's been a disaster so far this season.
Yeah.
And I'm eagerly awaiting my Chip Kelly to Tempe rumors.
I would say they are more realistic than Lincoln, Nebraska.
Nebraska fans will not like to hear that, but I agree.
But he's still not going to ASU, but yes.
Okay, that's all I got, man. Fun show.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few more games, Ty, if you would do me the pleasure of dropping that glistening, plunging, molten, spasming drum and fife. We have holy.
I'm wiping the sweat off my brow.
Is that true?
Mildly. It's hot here today. It's very hot today.
The Crusaders, the molten hot Crusaders traveling to Dartmouth.
Yeah.
Where's that, New Hampshire? I'm getting my states wrong in the Northeast all the time now.
Sure.
Holy Cross, once again, Massachusetts?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, sure. I think Holy Cross takes this game. I think the lava stays flowing.
I'm going to go Holy Cross as well. Give me the Crusaders, yeah.
The Penn Quakers take on Lehigh on the road in your backyard near, what was the cocktail bar, the library?
Oh, gosh, I forget what we called it.
Okay.
I think they've changed the name of it since then, but sure, we'll go library.
Lehigh's garbage. I'm going Penn here.
Lehigh 0-3 to start the year. They're being outscored by 50 points overall. In the name of all that is holy, please win this game over Penn. I'm going to go Lehigh. Give me the engineers here.
Furman at Colgate. I'm going Gators. Ty, I roll deep.
Colgate is 1-2 to start the year. I'm going to go Furman. Okay, I'm going to go Furman.
You're just abandoning those who support you the most. Georgetown multi-sport field, leaving multi-sport field, traveling to our backyard, Columbia, who I assume this is the game hosting situation for ESPN.
Game day. That's why game day is coming in, yeah, for the Columbia game, right?
I roll with the Hoyas tie. I always do.
Yeah, give me Georgetown.
Fordham traveling to Bryant's house.
To Bryant. Is it a person, Bryant?
I assume it's Big Country Reeves.
Okay. Yeah, you said Bryant's house, so I assumed a person. Let's go Fordham here. Fordham. By the way, what a disservice that he... This is why people should be upset about College Game Day going to New York City. Mm-hmm. They're doing it on a weekend when Fordham's out of town.
Such garbage.
Unbelievable.
Sacred Heart, traveling to Bucknell. You know I roll with the Nellies. Sacred Heart, good hospital on Scrubs. No, I'm not for it against Bucknell.
I'm going to go the Nellies here. Yeah, give me the Nellies.
Lafayette hosting Princeton.
Got to go Princeton. Lafayette's garbage, always and forever.
Lafayette is not having a particularly good year. Princeton, I support my friend Monty McNair, who was a receiver at Princeton, grew up with him. I'm going to go with the Tigers here, Ty. I'm going Princeton.
Did you know, Dan, and this is a 100% true fact.
Mm-hmm.
There is one team in the entire Patriot League that currently has a winning record.
Who?
And that is Holy
is
Cross.
It the Crusaders
are 2-1.
Yep.
But Colgate's 1-2, Fordham 1-2, Georgetown 1-1, Bucknell 1-2, and then Lafayette and Lehigh both shaping up at 0-3. But get this. Lafayette's been outscored 128-36 so far this year.
Not great, Bob.
They could probably beat ASU.
I mean, I'd be curious.
Yeah.
I'd flip to that channel. A couple other games, and this is the ultimate insult, doing it after the Patriot League, but Texas Tech-Houston tie.
Could be fun.
Playing good defense. Yeah. That's a fun nooner that might be worth tuning into late. There was another matchup I saw that I didn't think was worth skipping over. Maryland, UCF. Ty, yeah. Maryland's undefeated, Ty.
Yeah, yeah.
UCF has played one game, rested. I think I would like to see what Maryland can do. It's a 3.5-point spread.
Doesn't Maryland play Minnesota or somebody of Big Ten West intrigue? Next week.
Yeah. They go on the road. Maryland's undefeated.
Yeah.
The other matchup that caught my eye, Wake and App State. I don't believe App State is particularly where they were last year, at least. Wake's undefeated.
Yeah.
Wake could get to 4 wins.
Are you riding with John Wolford?
I think I'm good. That's such a great ACC. It's a very ACC name, Ty.
Yeah.
John Wolford. So, yeah, I'm curious about Wake Forest. Logan Woodside taking on the Miami defense.
Okay.
I don't think Toledo's going to win. Toledo's got a good quarterback. There's intrigue. I'm just saying, there's intrigue, Ty. It's a deep week.
Deep, deep week. Plunging.
Arkansas State SMU. Sure. It's not even on TV. Could still get weird.
All right. Well, this has been a fun show, a long show. We covered a lot of ground here.
Yeah.
On the podcast. Don't forget, you can find us out on Facebook, facebook.com/solidverbal, as well as Twitter and Instagram. We are also sending out a newsletter every Friday called the Newsletter of Intent. If you go to the Facebook page, there's a sign up button there that you can use if you want to subscribe to that. Or you can go to our website at solidverbal.com. It is free. It is me. It is our friend Taylor. This week, we're going to have a special guest posting on how you can watch games if you're a cord cutter. Got a really cool submission there. Got all sorts of fun little knickknacks to help you get involved and stay tuned to what's going on in the whole verballerhood that we've got working here. And by all means, please do check out the podcast. Maybe you're just stopping on by. Maybe you're not subscribed to the show, but every subscription will help us. You can do that on Apple, on Google, on Spotify, anywhere you can find podcasts. Reviews are encouraged. Believe you me, they help us out. They help get us noticed by more and more college football fans out there.
Yeah, and a quick few thank yous, Ty, because people are so good at supporting the show and retweeting and reviewing and all sorts of fun stuff. We always appreciate it, and you too can be thanked on the show and hear my dumb voice say your name, because that's something, Ty. That is something.
Yeah.
Thank you to Kyle Lanker, Walker Carey, Hudson Standish, the Drunken Gobbler, which
good one.
Sounds dangerous.
Good one.
Andrew Parker, Holly G, Josh Lipka, Peter Hoffman, who is doing an awesome job with the Reddit, the subreddit for Solid Verbal, Matt Pergo, Winston McDaniel Ty, sounds made up, seems like a real name. I'm pretty pumped about that. Luke Huerter, Sean Davis, Ken Greeley, Kevin Birch, and Will Warren, and of course, Ty, We Ride! With Brandon McKissick.
That we do. Yeah, don't forget to check out the subreddit. I should have mentioned that earlier in the show, but if you're interested in the show, want to hang out with other Verballers online, I know they've tried to organize some in-person meetups at various games and stadiums around the country. Subreddit is out there, reddit.com/r/solidverbal. They're doing God's work over there, keeping track of our picks, keeping track of our fantasy things picks. The whole nine yards, cool way for people who are into what we're doing to get involved and be part of the community.
Yes.
All right. On that note, for that fine gentleman over there in beautiful New York City, for myself, Ty Hildenbrandt here in Eastern PA, thanks again for listening to the show. We'll catch you all in a few days. In the meantime, enjoy your week, enjoy your weekend, and stay solid.
Peace.